As a patient, it's foolish that I have the right to access any door in the healthcare ecosystem. Tools like Medictor in the future will tell you which door you should knock, and you will be conducted to that door. It's no sense, and we see it as a nonsense that in the past we allowed everybody to knock every door because you're really using really expensive resources to solve, let's say, common or banal disease cases. And this is, we see it every day. 70% of the cases that you see in every emergency department in Spain are banal disease. They shouldn't be there.
Hello, everyone. Today, we're going to the vibrant and colorful city of Barcelona, the capital of Catalonia in Spain, and a city with a vibrant and dynamic culture. The food and music scene are as exciting as a rapidly growing tech sector, which has found a home away from home, shall we say, from conservative Madrid to the north. We're about to meet with Mr. Cristian Pascual. I've known and followed Cristian for over a decade as he built up his startup, and more recently, as he created a vibrant incubation space right here in Barcelona. We'll hear all about it. I love this interview almost as much as I enjoyed the tour that followed and the incredible dinner we shared that evening. Pascual has a great life journey to share with us. He elaborates on the challenges of launching a startup in Spain, highlights Barcelona's vibrant startup ecosystem, and also talks about the supportive government infrastructure. We also talk about the creation and rapid growth of the Barcelona Health Hub, which is this collaborative space for health tech innovation I mentioned earlier. Okay, vamos.
First, it all started because I was starting to be involved with different startups here in the ecosystem. I was lucky to invest on one of the early exits that happened in the ecosystem because my best friend just started the company and wanted me to join. But at that time, I was with ruling a big chain of bakery stores all over Spain. I just invested in the company. I had a good relationship with them and just learned all the story of the DAX success that ended up selling to a US company, in fact. And then after that, I also started investing as a business angel to several startups. I have invested in more than 20 in the ecosystem. So I knew everybody and I started thinking, let's do something. And of course, in family dinners with Oscar, who is my brother-in-law, we talk about, oh, let's start something together. And I said, yes, in your field, because you are a physician. And this is how we start thinking about what we could build up. And Oscar was playing with a game that is called Akinator that tried to think about who is the person that you are thinking. This is the typical game when you go on a trip and you try to think which is the famous person you are thinking. And he said, you know, I think like this when I see somebody in urgent care. You have fever, yes, no, then I start things. Mm. You think you could build up this with artificial intelligence? And I said, yes, let's do it. And we start meeting on Sundays, starting to draft the Medictor. And I called my cousin. So this is a family business with the CTO, it's Roger. And he started building the engine, like, yeah, part-time. And on like more than 10 years ago, we started building it. And in 2016, we launched the first Medictor. It's an artificial intelligence-based chatbot for triage and pre-diagnose. So we take symptoms as they arise. You can share it in natural language, which is extremely unique. And all at once, you say, my belly hurts and I think I have nausea, whatever. And then starts a conversation. Typically, it will take only 14 questions, which is extremely sharp. We have an obsession on that, to be sharp, to not ask silly questions, to provide an outcome. And the outcome is the level of urgency expressed in how much you need to run to seek care and the list of possible disease you could be suffered, get from most probable to less probable.
One of the key aspects that leads to a successful startup is that it both has to truly understand the process from the user's perspective, but also needs to add value. And that can be insight from somebody outside the system, like perhaps an engineer who experienced in process engineering. So this is exactly what happened with these guys and how they came up with such a winning formula. Let's hear it directly from them.
When Oscar explained, and I went to the hospital with him and see how they were triaging people in the emergency department. And for me as an engineer, that I see processes, it sounded that we can optimize that process pretty easily with that tool. And it was pretty obvious. At the same time, we were not aware of the difficulties of starting a startup. I knew that, but not trying to monetize that in healthcare, which is, I think, the biggest challenge today that all startups are facing, how they get reimbursed or they get money for the value they bring. This is the trickiest thing I see as a startup in healthcare. I think Barcelona is the fourth startup ecosystem in Europe, ranked in several rankings, 3, 4, 5, I don't know, in that level, but it's pretty vibrant. I think it's even over Madrid in all rankings, Barcelona. So the hardest thing here, there are a lot of talent, a lot of good institutions in healthcare to validate your tool, to have professionals to work with you. What we lack more, maybe it's investment, or maybe in the early stage, you can find it. Business angels, local business angels are pretty active. But when you try to scale up, that is more challenging and you need to go abroad. You need to go to other places in Europe to look for bigger venture capitalists. And that's the biggest challenge, I think.
So that's cool. But why is healthcare so big, specifically in Barcelona? I think finance in Madrid makes some sense. That's where the banking centers are. But healthcare in Barcelona, why?
In this year, Catalonia review, I can share the document because it's really interesting, showing that healthcare startups are the most right now in the ecosystem and the fastest growing. So healthcare startups are really evolving really fast here in Barcelona because Barcelona has always been related to healthcare. And we have a lot of pharma that is based here. And as I said, well-reputed hospitals and clinical institutions. So the startup Biberon ecosystem plus the solid clinical background merged together also with the industry. And then the highest standards in healthcare in Spain. And that's something that also comes into the equation. And there's another interesting point. We are the second oldest population in the world after Japan, Spain. And this brings another interesting point. We are ahead of the problems that all developed countries will suffer, managing elder population with chronic disease and the saturation of the healthcare services that we are facing. That is getting really tough because, well, this now I think the health, the age pyramid, it's inverted right now. So it's a huge challenge for healthcare. And what will happen in the next 20 years will be challenging. At the time that we are, the only solution I see, and this is something that we share, it's with the use of technology, because it's the only way that on the short term, you can provide scalable, sustainable in the sense of the spendings and also inclusive healthcare. It's the only way, because the other way is to have more healthcare professionals and put more money in the system, which is not sustainable. So I really believe that it's forced to evolve digital, to empower healthcare professionals, to help them do a better job more easily, and to empower patients so they can take care of their health more independently with the use of tools. At this point, all initiatives that are successful are private, like Barcelona Health Hub itself. As Medictor, we are serving now public hospitals with our tool, with great outcomes. How do we scale this solution in a national way or in a local way? It's not easy. And there's not a path for that. It's public health. It's regulated. So how a public hospital buy technology, it's the same way you buy bets. So it's not thought for to buy innovation, to sell innovation to public health. It's challenging. We started Barcelona Health Hub because we were suffering as a startup a lot of challenges, and we thought that bringing the community together, the startup ecosystem, was useful to have this network that can help in the journey of us being successful, bringing the technology to the patient. And we started pretty in a crazy way, thinking, oh, let's move together. And we talked five startups, and I tried to look for a place. And we were looking for a place near a hospital, because we thought, if we are near a hospital, things will start to happen. And we end up landing here at the São Paulo Modernist venue. That this was the old hospital, back 100 years old building, UNESCO heritage place, the biggest modernist venue in the world. So it's magnificent. But it was used as offices, but not really fully used, because they were looking for some kind of purpose related to healthcare. So it was the perfect moment when we landed here. There was a full building that was empty, and I said, okay, we will fill it up. And they believe it, because they could have said, this guy is crazy. And it happened in less than 6 months. The full building that was, I think it's 3,000 square meters, was full of startups and insurance companies and pharma and everybody working in digital health. And now we have gone even farther. We have four of these buildings. This building right here is being now refurbished also to allocate more of these. So it's great. It really evolved fast and in a nice way.
I got to tell you, you got to look this place up, and I'll try to put some pictures in the footnotes, but it is beautiful. It sort of is pre-Gaudi, I think, in terms of its look, but it does call on that very rich architectural fabric from this region. It's an amazing place to work. Let's hear more about that. Who built it?
Yeah, it was Domènec. He was, in fact, the teacher of Gaudi at the time that he was in charge of building up this and designing this incredible space. And at that time, he was more remarkable than Gaudi. But regardless of that, I think this is a extremely unique place, because we have the heritage of the past, 100 years history. And just 15 years ago, this was, in fact, the actual building for the hospital. And now here in this fantastic space, we are building up the medicine of the future with technology. So it's really inspiring. And for a startup, I think it's the best place to be. I mean, it's really nice to be here. So in fact, I think it's interesting that you raised the point that the hub was and it is devoted to help startups. And this is a key point, because as you said, we suffered the pain of bringing our technology to patients. And in that journey, with the hub, we tried to address all these pains in different ways. But the first thing was to bring all the community together. So first of all, startups. We have more than 300 startups as members of the hub. Then we have also all sorts of clinical institutions, from the hospitals and the clinician and all sorts of clinical different institutions. Then the investors. And finally, the corporations, which mainly are health insurance companies and pharma. So bringing all these actors together is what makes things happen. We start to see collaborations happening there.
It really is an incredible space, because the structures themselves have like these built-in amphitheaters for conferences, and the entire space, which is this huge quadrangular space with a large central courtyard, can and is used for large events, from music events to international meetings for digital health. And the experience of being together leads these companies to connect, get the funding they need, understand the banking side, the hospital system side, and there's been several exits that came out of the Barcelona Health Hub.
Yeah, sure. I think a lot of startups have grown here, like Medictor. Three other are now scale-ups in size, more than 50 people. And we have been able to allocate them in the different buildings, growing spaces. And there's willingness of the São Paulo Foundation to help us in to allocate more. Until we can, there will be a limit, but right now we are still growing. And yeah, I think it's great. The evolution in just 5 years, it's really surpasses all of our expectations. And I think it's also not just because there is a great team at Barcelona Health Hub that does a good job, but also because it was the right time and the right place to happen. And not only the place in the sense of this magnificent space, but also Barcelona, vibrant startup ecosystem together with the farmers and all the industry that it's surrounding that made it possible. I think one of the most remarkable partnerships that we have is with São Paulo Hospital. Not only because we are close, a lot of startups are working with the hospital, but also because we have done something pretty unique, which is to build up a specific validation center that is devoted and trained to validate digital health companies. And this is unique because I don't know if you learn of any other place that have devoted these resources, but our objective again was to help these startups that have a solution in digital health to make it easier for them to be clinically validated and to that process to happen in an efficient way, especially in the time invested for that. Because we suffered in Medictor the pain of being rejected by an ethical committee because they didn't understand what we wanted to validate, or at least take 1 year to say yes, which is a killer for a startup. So we build up this validation center and we are starting to validate digital health startups here. There are, I think, three projects now that are starting the validation. And there's a pipeline of others that are on budgeting.
Now, Christian's company, Medictor, is deployed in a number of European countries and has just moved to the United States. And I wanted to get into some of the challenges of marketing a product built in Spain across borders, particularly across the Atlantic.
It's interesting because when you go and analyze where you should go, and one advantage that we have is that doing one thing that we do, that it's trying to direct people to the right level of care, the value proposition can be shaped in so many different ways to many different players and can be fine-tuned to so many local necessities that it's not about the shaping of the product that worries me. It's about the shaping of the concept that I need to explain to each of the customers that I'm trying to reach. So the good thing, I only need to shape, which is the story that I need to tell. But it's quite challenging also, because it's not only the story and you say it. You need to go to a client and say, I can solve this problem because I can prove I can solve this problem because I know the economics behind. And these are the testimonials and the use case. I mean, you need to prove that you can solve properly the problem. And this is not easy because you need early adopters. You need to build up the use case. You need to build up the economics to learn what are the real problems that you are solving behind. And this is challenging. And I think my biggest problem, at least at this point in the US, is that most of our value for the rest of the world is based on the savings or the efficiency that we drive. I don't feel that in the US, the savings or the efficiency are the top of mind of the corporations in charge of healthcare. Instead, in fact, we shape our value proposition there as a lead generation. So what we do for health systems is to convert the traffic they have online to leads to their facilities. So it's a different thing. I haven't shaped it like this for any other player in the world, but for the US and the health systems specifically, we shape it this way. And on the other side, at the same time, we are also driving this efficiency because people knocking the right door is efficient. But at the same time, we can convert this traffic into leads. It's a challenging ecosystem. And everybody talks about value-based care, but I don't feel they really deliver value-based care in any way. In Europe, they are forced. It's not an option to do it a different way. But in the US, the main driver, I feel, and my vision is limited, I'm not a full US player. I travel there a lot. I feel the pain of selling there, but I don't live in the US. It's not my everyday. I see a drive on the top line. The rest of the world, a lot of corporations are looking how to do savings, which is a different thing.
When companies come to the United States from another international market, one that is a single payer, for example, they have to rethink how they frame the value proposition. So for Medictor, the value was triaging people to the right level of care in the emergency room, which often meant moving them to the lowest appropriate level of care and decompressing busy doctors. In the US, the process directly lowers revenues. For the US, Medictor reframed their value proposition as triaging patients back to their clinics from the ED, i.e., a form of lead generation. I also like this perspective on value-based care in the US.
It's interesting because for the first time we have been approached from various health systems regarding optimization in the emergency department, especially how to optimize the time of the nurses doing triage in these emergency departments. And this is linked to the lack of professionals in health and how we can play a role in helping to close this gap, because there's shortage of professionals. So how tools like Medictor can play a role in doing it more efficient. So with the same amount of people, you can see more people and attend more people or optimize the resources.
Okay, so now let's talk more about the true value proposition that Medictor brings to the table. What does it do that others can't do?
So what we do with our tool, it's farther than what is the outcome of previous tools, because we can pre-diagnose. And we pre-diagnose really well. We are working now with hospitals that they, with a nurse, with the help of Medictor, can pre-diagnose the most frequent disease. They can apply protocols to that, like the test to be performed. So we are discharging physicians to see the more prevalent, frequent, and repetitive cases that they see every day. So that's a huge efficiency to emergency departments, because it's a hack. And this is something that will change in the world. As a patient, it's foolish that I have the right to access any door in the healthcare ecosystem. Tools like Medictor in the future will tell you which door you should knock, and you will be conducted to that door. It's no sense, and we will see it as a known sense, that in the past we allowed everybody to knock every door, because you are really using really expensive resources to solve, let's say, common or banal disease cases. We see it every day. 70% of the cases that you see in every emergency department in Spain are banal disease. They shouldn't be there. So it's extremely inefficient.
Okay, so Christian has clarified what the pain point they're going after is, but I wanted to push him a little bit on why they hadn't adopted large language models and chatbots, or for example, other technologies such as avatars.
So I think you brought it right. LLMs have a huge problem. Specifically, I'll talk only on the problem we try to solve, to send people to the right level of care and pre-diagnose them. You need clinical trials to prove that you're doing right. And you need medical device certification in Europe. You need a lot of things that with LLMs, I'm not saying it's impossible, are challenging. And also you need the medical community to approve what you're doing. So I think we went the right way, in the sense that Medictor is a white box artificial intelligence. We can always explain why a result was shown. And we use artificial intelligence to try to send the best next question to the user. And we merge different technologies. We merge the natural language processing, machine learning, that we run also artificial intelligence over it to ask the best question to the user and be sharp and to the point. So our mission is not to excel on one technology, but to combine them to produce the best outcome. And then LLMs, I think they can be useful for us to treat things that are unrelated to healthcare, because we want to extend the portfolio of offerings of our conversational tool. So LLMs have the potential to be very useful for things that are not clinical. Show me the test, or can I schedule a visit with a physician? So we can extend the portfolio of services of our conversational bot to things that are useful and not clinically related. Avatar is, I think, a great way to be more empathetic with the user. So it's more natural and more if you were talking to a physician. So it's an option that we offer to our clients. It's a different way of interaction. It's a matter of choice. There are some people that just want the plain text. And even we can integrate our system to Telegram or to WhatsApp or to any text messaging tool. We don't need even an interface. We just text, we can evaluate patients. So we just offer all kinds of interfaces to our clients, and it's their choice. Or maybe they already have a platform that they use to engage with the users. We just try to offer as much options as possible. And the avatar is a good one, and the adoption is really nice. We want to be the conversational tool for especially insurance companies or payers, which is our main clients, but in general for healthcare. So we can extend the value proposition to cover other use cases like chronic care, or as I said before, for general purpose, more generic questions related to healthcare, but not directly to healthcare. So we can cover more of the problems that you can solve with artificial intelligence chatbot, engaging your insurance company or trying to talk with your hospital.
This last section was really insightful because it underscores the fact that technologies that are coming into healthcare that are able to fit into pre-existing workflows are much more likely to be adopted. It is true that if the workflow itself is broken, the technology will not fix it. But that is not what this company is trying to do or claims. It assumes that the workflows work and provides a digital intelligence layer to assist with triaging patients to the best level of care possible. Further, it can adjust that layer to match the format of the existing system's needs, whether it be text, a conversational chatbot, or an avatar interface. Interestingly, they can even converse with patients over social media. I thought that was kind of cool. Another point I like is their approach they're taking to new technology, like large language models, right? And applying the correct technology to the task to which it is most suited. So large language models, at least in their current state, are often considered black box systems that are difficult to regulate and therefore apply effectively to the diagnostic side of healthcare. However, for those interactions that need not be fully transparent, like booking an appointment or asking questions about, say, insurance coverage, large language models can be applied with good results even today. And with that, we closed out the conversation and walked outside on a glorious day in Barcelona, enjoyed a quick lunch at a nearby bakery where the breads were still being handmade, something Christian really prized. You may recall that prior to getting into tech, he worked for a company that sold baked goods. And surprisingly, just shy of 50% of the cafes in Spain buy their pastries from this one manufacturer. And so while good, Christian clearly prefers finding those artisans that still craft traditional Catalonian pastries in their own shops, La Coca de Lardons, Coca de San Juan, Paletes, Panelets. Oh my God, I had so many of these things. They're delicious. Really good reason to visit Barcelona Health Hub and possibly look up Christian or any of the other people that we have interviewed here in Barcelona. Take care. Hey there, this is Stefano again, and I'm excited to share this new podcast. I traveled the world on my sabbatical, and I was meeting healthcare innovators with incredible stories, and I just want to share them. So let's connect. I want to hear your thoughts. DM me on LinkedIn, and I'll reply to every message. And if you like these conversations as much as I did, share the podcast. Give it a like. Your support will help spread these inspiring stories to even more people. Thank you.